Chapter 5, The Vision of Lotuses. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.22. Here are some of the specific symbolic marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguishes his body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Shudras, the labor class, and Dvijabandhus, or the wretched descendants of the three higher classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms, etc. of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archavigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above-mentioned women, Shudras, and Dvijabandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression from the center of his transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, the Lord is known as the Pankajanabhi. The Pankajanabhi Lord accepts the Archavigraha, his transcendental form, in different elements, namely a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewels, a form made of paint, a form drawn in the sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning sensation of the non-devotees, always engaged in material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Shudras, and Dvijabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple and worship the different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent, and one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the Shudras and the women or less. One should always begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. One should not try to look at the face of Krishna without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet, because the Lord might feel ashamed. And thus Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet, i.e. from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face, and then down to the lotus feet of the Lord. In the round, everything is there in order. If one sees a lotus flower, one can immediately remember Krishna. For example, if one loves one's child and one sees any of the child's garments, or his shoes, or a small ship, or any of his playthings, one will immediately remember the child. Oh, here are my child's shoes. These are my child's playthings. This is his garment. This is the nature of love. So, if one actually loves God, Krishna, one can remember him always. It is not difficult to remember Krishna. Here Kunti Devi describes Krishna with references to lotus flowers. Similarly, when Krishna describes himself in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Rasoham apshupkonteya, I am the taste of liquids. So, when one can remember Krishna by tasting water, even if one is drinking liquor, if he thinks, the taste of this drink is Krishna, he will one day turn out to be a great saintly person. So I can request even drunkards to become Krishna conscious, what to speak of others, because Krishna says, Rasoham apshukonteya, I am the taste of liquids. Generally, in this context, liquid is taken to mean water. But liquor is also liquid. It is only sugar and molasses or some other combination fermented and distilled. Of course, it is bad because it creates intoxication. Although in one sense nothing is bad, liquor is bad because it creates bad effects. In America, there are many drunkards. There is no scarcity of them. But I may even request the drunkards, while drinking wine, kindly remember that the taste of this drink is Krishna. Just begin in this way, and one day you will become a saintly, Krishna-conscious person. So, Krishna is available under any circumstances, if we want to catch him. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvagam adadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyantite. Bhagavad Gita 10.10. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. If one is actually very serious in searching for Krishna, Krishna is everywhere. Adantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamahamajami. Brahma Samhita 5.35. Krishna is present within the universe, within our hearts, and even within the atom. So it is not difficult to find him, but one must know the process by which to do so. This process is very simple, and by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are distributing this process to everyone without charge. The process is to chant Hare Krishna. As soon as one chants Hare Krishna, one will immediately understand Krishna. Similarly, simply by hearing or chanting the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, one can be purified. Whatever knowledge exists in the world is present in Srimad Bhagavatam. It includes literature, poetry, astronomy, philosophy, religion, and love of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam Paramam Amalam. If one simply reads Srimad Bhagavatam, he gains the topmost education. For if one studies Srimad Bhagavatam, he will be well-versed in every subject matter. Even if one does not understand a single word of the mantras of Srimad Bhagavatam, the vibrations themselves have such power that simply by chanting, one will be purified. Shrinvata Sakati Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. The word Punya means pious, and Shravana means hearing, and Kirtana means chanting. One who chants or hears the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam becomes pious automatically. To become pious, one generally has to endeavor a great deal. But if one simply hears the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, one becomes pious automatically. Therefore, it is a rigid principle in every temple of our Krishna consciousness movement that there must be a daily class for hearing and chanting. Our movement is meant for training spiritual leaders, but without hearing and chanting, it is impossible to become a leader. Of course, in the material world, it is possible, but not in the spiritual world. Hearing and chanting waters the seed of devotional service, which develops one's original consciousness. So here, in these prayers, Kunti Devi, a great devotee, is giving us an opportunity to become Krishna conscious simply by concentrating our mind on panjaka, the lotus flower. Panka means mud, and ja means generate. Although the lotus flower is generated from mud, it is a very as it is a most important flower, and Krishna likes it very much. Kunti Devi therefore describes all the parts of Krishna's body with reference to the lotus flower, so that as soon as one sees a lotus flower, one will immediately think of Krishna. Oh, Krishna's navel is just like a lotus, and from Krishna's navel grew the stem of the lotus upon which Brahma, the creator of this universe, was born. This universe includes so many planets, seas, mountains, and cities with motor cars and other paraphernalia, but the entire universe began from that lotus. Nama Pankaja Maline. From Krishna comes the wonderful lotus flower that contains the seed of the entire universe. But he is not the source of only one such flower. Krishna is not so poor that he simply produces one lotus flower and is then finished. No, just as there may be a garland of many flowers, Krishna is the source of innumerable universes, which may be compared to a big garland of lotus. This is God. Krishna is unlimited. We are very much concerned with this one planet, but Krishna's creation contains an unlimited number of planets. We cannot count how many planets there are, any more than one can count how many hairs are on one's head. This is the nature of Krishna's creation. To give another example, on one tree there is an unlimited number of leaves. Similarly, there are an unlimited numbers of a number of planets, and there are unlimited universes. Therefore, Krishna is unlimited. Krishna's navel resembles a lotus. He is garlanded with lotuses. His eyes are also compared to the petals of a lotus. So if we simply think of only this one verse, which describes Krishna's body with reference to the lotus, we can meditate our whole life on how beautiful Krishna is, how wise Krishna is, and how Krishna manifests his creation. This is meditation, thinking of Krishna. A yogi is one who always thinks of Krishna. Those who think of something impersonal are not yogis. Their meditation simply involves undergoing more and more labor, and they cannot reach anything substantial. Therefore, after meditation, they say, "Come on, give me a cigarette. Come on now, my throat is dry. Give me a cigarette." That is not meditation. Meditation means thinking of Krishna always. Satatam chintayanto mam, and endeavoring to advance in Krishna consciousness with a firm vow. Yatantascha dridavata. We have to be purified. Because Krishna is pure, we cannot approach Krishna impurely. But if we think of Krishna always and meditate upon Krishna, then we shall be purified. That meditation can be possible by hearing and chanting, and then thinking of Krishna will automatically come. That is the process of Krishna consciousness. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. The word Smaranam means remembering. If we hear and chant, then remembrance will automatically come, and then we shall engage in worshipping Krishna's lotus feet, Sevanam. Then we shall engage in the temple worship, Archanam, and offering prayers, Vandanam. We shall engage ourselves as Krishna's servants, Dasyam. We shall become Krishna's friends, Sakyam, and we shall surrender everything to Krishna, Atmanivedanam. This is the process of Krishna consciousness.